Hey, Ev, how are you doing?
I'm good. I mean, it's right near the holiday season. I couldn't get any better, I guess.
Yeah, I know. We're recording this like 2 days before Thanksgiving. So in that spirit, I'm wearing orange today. So, I'm ready. I'm hosting a couple of people over. I think I've got about eight adults and one little baby coming to my house on Thursday, so I'm pretty excited.
Nice.
But
Nice.
it's the holidays and I can't not think about our nonprofit clients and how this is the time of the year where they're really starting to ramp up their requests, their appeals, et cetera, for the calendar year end, because they're really trying to target people for those last minute tax deductions on their personal tax returns, right? It's for contributions that are given. So it's the giving season. It's the giving season.
Yeah, well, I've always appreciated that. And actually, funny enough, you mentioned that. Just the other day, I got something in the mail from WWF World Wildlife Fund, I guess it is, about some appeal. So I guess what they're basically asking, and I think it was related to actually pandas. I saw something in the news about them coming back to DC. So if I give money for that appeal, like I send it in honor of the appeal, whatever you want to call it, is my contribution restricted?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. I see this coming up several times during the course of my audits that I perform. But a lot of times, I think some of our nonprofits, especially the ones that maybe don't do a lot of appeals, don't realize that if you are sending out a letter and you're specifically requesting money for some type of program for an individual to fund and help support, and they respond back. A lot of times you get that letter and it's got the little snippet at the bottom that you fill out and say, yes, I'll donate $25 to this. That's restricted for purposes because you all are under the assumption that if you're giving money to that particular appeal, it is going to go help the pandas, right? It's going to help bring them over, help make sure they have everything they need, veterinary care, ensuring that they also have food, et cetera, all those types of things that, for the World Wildlife Fund, they're out there really to protect nature as their main mission. But this is a lot more specific than that.
But so that's a good point as far as World Wildlife Fund protecting nature, right? So presumably if I got one, let's say similar looking appeal, but it said help the World Wildlife Fund protect nature, and I contribute to toward that appeal, that's no longer necessarily restricted.
Yeah, I wouldn't see that one as
Okay.
restricted because again, that's pretty broad and it goes right along with their main overall mission. It's not less specific to me because really restrictions from purposes are really narrow, more specific and geared towards something than an overall mission of an organization.
And high level, the significance of this is really, I mean, when we're discussing nonprofits, is this is a very, I would say, specific concept of accounting toward nonprofits, right?
Yes.
This whole idea behind restrictions versus unrestrictions. Oh, what does it really mean when it comes time for audited financial statements? What does it look like on the face of financial statements, all of that?
Yeah, so remember in nonprofit world, we're talking about the statement of activities. That's your profit and loss income statement, for lack of better words, to kind of correlate it to the for-profit world. And the way that I always gear it up, because as you recall, some of that money, if it's unconditional, the revenue gets recognized right up front. And then if it's purpose restricted, it sits in that bucket or that second tiered column, as we would show it on the face of the statement, as your net assets with donor restrictions. And so what happens is on the left side, the farthermost column, that's your net assets without donor restrictions. That's really from an auditor's perspective when it comes to nonprofits, what we would consider operations, right? All of your expenses flow into your net assets without donor restrictions. So when you have your net assets, your purpose restrictions, and you've satisfied them, you would flip them over and make them a gross up essentially of your revenue or your support on your without donor restrictions, so that when you come down to the bottom and you're alleviating those expenses, right, because that's what you've helped to satisfy, then it's almost like a net wash, right? So when I talk about my organization's financials, and I'm reporting out the results of those financials, I really hone in on that net assets without donor restrictions, because again, we get lost in a lot of, well, our income statement, our statement of activities is inflated this year because we got $10 million that we're not going to be able to use this year. But really, let's focus in on that net assets without donor restrictions.
Yeah, and I think and that's kind of where I was trying to go with that because I mean, let's say me, right? I mean, I now look, I say, okay, interesting. Let me learn a little bit more about the World Wildlife Fund. Let me look at their financial statements and say how much of the money is actually restricted versus unrestricted. Because presumably, if I'm going through that, let's say, financial analysis, I'd kind of, as far as the ability of the nonprofit to more likely continue as a going concern, I'd prefer more of their net assets to be unrestricted, presumably, right?
You would be, but at the same time, you have to remember that there are a lot of like C3 type organizations who really do a lot of programmatic work that is going to be funded by those with a donor restrictions, those purpose, those time restrictions too. We have those as well. And so you have to kind of look at a subset of both. Yes, of course, we want our nonprofits to be able to support their operations. If they are tied up and all with donor restrictions, you're going to have a problem with that, right? Because a lot of those with donor restrictions don't support what we call infrastructure, operations, general and administrative type of work, which is obviously what you need to run a business and nonprofits, regardless if they don't have a profit or et cetera, don't pay income taxes, they're still a business. And so, really, when you're looking at those net assets with donor restrictions, that's a great place from a reserve standpoint to look at. But it's not necessarily 100% about the viability of the organization. I know some nonprofits that literally are 99% funded by with donor restrictions. And because of that, they're only going to be doing and supporting the programs for which that funding is coming in.
And so you touched upon in your response just now another, I would say, a subset of restrictions, right? The time restrictions. So what exactly are we talking about there? How does that really work?
So time restrictions could be as simple as, you have you're coming down here to December, and maybe you give a donation to the World Wildlife Fund, and maybe you just like, here it is for general operations, but it's for 2025. That's a time restriction for the future, right? You're insinuating and explicitly stating that you want it to be used in 2025 to support those general operations. On top of it, we also have multi-year pledges. And unless it's explicitly stated by the donor that you can use it, let's say in 2025, I'm giving a 5-year pledge starting January 1st, and I'm going to give $100,000 over the next 5 years to $500,000 total. Those time restrictions are considered implicit. They're implicitly applied to those installments and when those installments are due.
Got it. Okay. So you could, I guess, to summarize, you could have a contribution that is both purpose restricted and time restricted. You could, and you can have, and that is likely what you'll see with the multi-year pledge, right? I mean, not necessarily, but if the multi-year pledge is purpose restricted, more likely than not is going to be time restricted as well, implicit, correct?
Correct. And you do have to
Okay.
satisfy both pieces in order to release it. So a
Right.
lot of times, they'll satisfy the purpose restriction before the time
Right.
is satisfied, right? Like that is the most common, but sometimes there are times where the installment payments are coming in and they haven't necessarily spent anything on this, maybe a new initiative or some type of program. The other thing to mention about restrictions too, Yev, especially purpose restrictions, is that you have to use your net assets with donor restrictions first. So you can't just pick and choose and say, well, I'm only going to spend $500,000, and release that, even though I spent and expended $700,000.
Okay.
If you have $1 million of net assets with donor restrictions sitting for that particular purpose.
So Trisha, I think what the this in a lot of your responses, you've also mentioned today the word conditional. I think that's like another subset, right? Another almost separate category under the whole umbrella of revenue recognition for nonprofits, but I think it deserves its own video. Would you agree with that?
I agree. Conditional versus unconditional is a whole other beast.
Yeah. And everything, just to clarify, everything we've been discussing today is under the unconditional category.
Correct.
So far, let's say that it has been. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Got it. Okay. Sounds good. So I think I'm good to then contribute to the World Wildlife Fund, help save the pandas, bring them back to DC.
Yeah, help keep the pandas in DC. We're very excited that we were sad when we lost the pandas, and now we're excited that they're back.
Sounds good. Okay, I'll be sure to contribute like $1 million. Hopefully that'll be enough to bring them back. Thank you.
All right.